Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust.
Daryl, what'd you say?
Great timing.
I missed an opportunity to put it like a moogly on the bedroom light here to like
like
Ghostbuster
show.
Logo, and now I'm just like, no, now it's just a blank space. My head is on fire.
That's after we do this stream, what we'll do is James will go back through and start superimposing like newscasting things up in the corner in the blank box.
Perfect.
Right, it's James? Ready. You'll be able to do all of that, right?
Sure. Let me do that while I'm doing all of everything else. Yeah.
you're like the TikTok thing where they have like someone preparing food off to the side, like during something else.
Yep, exactly. Get that clip in there.
We were literally just talking about how this is our dynamic. With that, it's like, oh yeah, we just gotta reshoot this scene. And it's like, can we not?
We do all the work and I'll just supervise.
It looks like Bob's already lurking in the background. Hi, Bob. We taught them how to summon you, just like saying things about you, cracking jokes, and Bob appears.
I still don't believe he's real.
That's what you believe.
Well, what we will learn, what you'll learn over time is that everyone's Ghostbuster story at some point involves Bob.
Bob has asked for a hydrate.
A hydrate. Everyone, slurp it down.
V is like, I don't.
I just drank all my water. I'll just mime it.
There we go. There we go. There mime it go. For the people. James, why is Bob demanding a refund?
Because Bob's a jerk.
In all caps. Well, we've been live for a few, so I think the social medias are social mediaing. So let's kick it.
Oh, I know what he's talking about.
What?
Oh, there's some new toys, but as I told him the other day, they don't work with Streamlabs.
Ah, so is this like
they only work? Yeah, they work with movie streaming or game streaming, which we'll do after this, but that's for announcement for later, Bob.
Well, let's kick this off. Welcome all you guys with your eyes on the stream. Whether you're watching it now or later, hey, how are ya? This is Windy City presents Why We Bust. So this is our weekly live stream that we'll be doing every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. Now that we're interviewing outside of the Midwest, I've learned it's important that I make sure to mention 7 p.m. Central. But this is our chance to interview members of different Ghostbuster franchises, hear their stories, get to know them a little better, to figure out like, why are we all in these potato sacks? What is the driving factor here to wear 40 pounds of gear on our back? I'm your host, Kristen, your friendly neighborhood class 5 full roaming vapor. On our socials and producing, we have James. Say hi, James.
Howdy.
In chat, we have Bob. Say hi, Bob. And tonight we have two guests. This is our first live stream where we have two people at
second.
Once. Is it second?
It is second. We did one with Nat and Elliot.
Oh, duh. I'm thinking like because they were on one screen together. But this is a second. Okay, excellent. So our second time having two folks on at once. We have Veronica and Daryl from Ghostbusters Virginia. Welcome,
Whoa.
Y'all.
Hello.
Yes, this is my emotional support, Daryl.
Nice. Good
that's
luck.
That's the Bob in chat is James's emotional support Bob, so we understand.
We all need one, yeah.
And we promise that in your diversifying groups, we will at some point let other groups outside of Virginia join you on this show.
They got a chokehold on our stream right now. But you know what? We're enjoying hanging out with the East Coast a little, you know? And you guys, I mean, you have a pretty massive project that in a way kind of affects all franchises because it's I don't want to get too deep into it yet. I want to sneak up onto into our subject. What's up?
Oh, hey, just real quick, Zero Sin, thank you for the subscription. That's awesome. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for subscribing. Now you get a lot of perks and some stickers you can use in the chat. And I should mention too, we got some Moogly money.
Moogly money.
So as y'all are watching on Twitch specifically, you will gain Moogly money that you can use to affect the chat or affect the stream. I'm sorry. You can have us, like Bob already did, make us hydrate, get a Slimer silly, which is a terrible pun that I will have to come up with. And a stretch. What else did we have?
Well, we have a new one.
Oh, which one?
We have a new one. It is called Summon the Destructor. And what happens is I shake the treat can and make Annabelle appear.
Oh my God.
Since everybody always tells me that they love seeing my cats on the stream.
That's amazing.
I thought you meant like the evil doll.
Yeah, no. Like, she likes.
What have we signed up for?
It's a good thing we're all Ghostbusters.
My treasure's all in your pack on.
There's Annabelle over the shoulder, but not the cat.
Dun dun dun.
But yeah, so I like I was saying before we creep into the big thing coming up after the trailer that was dropped, I would like to dig in 2 years past, go far back into your early days where you first encountered Ghostbusters. I really like to know, what was your first either memory or first encounter of Ghostbusters? And then whether it was passive, like, oh, I saw the movie, or the first memory of actively, like, I'm dressing up as a Ghostbuster, whether you're in a group or not, kind of where those beginnings came from.
You're going to start this one.
Well, for me, I didn't really grow up with Ghostbusters. I discovered it as an adult. I caught little bits and pieces of it as a kid, and I knew through like cultural osmosis who the Ghostbusters were. But I didn't really get into it, and I didn't watch it the whole way through until I was an adult and I was interested in joining the West Virginia team, because I was like, what is this all about? And I watched it and I was like, this is just a wonderful, unique, hilarious movie. And I fell in love with it from there. And then I joined the team. But I mean, I remember seeing part of the second one on TV as a kid, like the part with Janusz as the nanny, really terrifying me. So I don't know. I may have been too timid as a kid for Ghostbusters. I don't know. But yeah, so that's, I didn't grow up with it. I came to appreciate it later. But Daryl, did you grow up with it?
Yeah, I grew up with the cartoon. Like, I very actively watched the cartoon. And then when I was like 6, 2 came out. And my stepdad brought me to that one. And that was great. I saw it in theaters and learned a few things. One, Egon's hair is completely wrong in the films. And two, I gave myself a real complex about taking baths for about the next probably 2 or 3 months of my childhood. Anytime that I would wash my hair, like, the adult had to keep their eye on the faucet so no slime came out. And it was like a core terror memory for me. I actually don't remember when I first saw the movie, because I had kind of like the first movie, because I had soft opened with the cartoon. But my first Ecto toy was the Ecto-1A. I remember the like sticker book and stuff in my like Scholastic book fairs when I was a kid and stuff. It was Ghostbusters 2 was very much in there. You know, it's competing with like 89 Batman and a number of other fantastically 80s childhood, early 90s childhood memories. But no, the cartoon was seminal in early childhood, right behind like, you know, He-Man and Thundercats. And, you know, I got it. When those other kids like He-Man, I was like, wait a minute, that's not right. Anyway.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, there's so many varying ways that like people kind of come into it. What was that connection then between like dressing up as a Ghostbuster, or like did either of you like dress up first and then find like the different groups within Ghostbusters Virginia, or was it like you found them and you're like, I want to be a part of it, so now I'm going to dress up? Because Veronica, both of you know, I do a lot of creeping on social medias before interviews. So Veronica, sure. I know like what was it, like 2015-ish is when you started posting wearing it, but you do a ton of cosplays too. And then Daryl, yeah, definitely like I saw at least 2000, I think 18, at least with posting. So did either of you, like, did you start the cosplay and then join, or join and then start the cosplay?
Well, for me, I've been doing, well, I always like to dress up, but I started doing cosplay 2010-ish onward, and I joined a group called Cosplayers in West Virginia, and so we would do things like hospital visits and stuff, you know, for good cause. And so that was a group that was primarily princesses and superheroes. And so I was in that group, and we partnered a lot with Ghostbusters West Virginia Division. And I saw how much fun all those guys were having. And I just was like, oh, man, I would love to be a part of that group. But I felt a little intimidated because I didn't really know anything about Ghostbusters. So that's when I watched the movie. And I was like, this is great. I love this. I love all these like kind of wacky personalities working together to fight the ghosts. And I just was like, oh, I would love to, you know, I would love to be part of this, you know, part of this team. So so that's when I decided to dress up, and then I joined the team from there. So that was my experience.
Fair.
Actually, I got into all of this. I kind of fell backwards from getting a Spirit Proton Pack, and then which I resisted because I was like, I know this is going to be a slippery slope.
Oh, no.
And it was.
Then I got it. I was 100% correct. I knew where this was going to go. And it was like, it was when I was like, I'm not going to dress up as like a Ghostbuster and walk around. And then so I got the pack and I got, and you know, you get the pack and you're like, that's cool, but that's wrong. So let me fix that. So I buy the card and I fix that. And I go, perfect. It's perfect. Like I got it to hang up in my like living room or put into like a spare room or something just to kind of be apartment decoration. Cause I was living in New York at the time. And then it just became a slippery slope, where I bought part after part after part and then slowly built it out. And then I was like, well, I got to pack this good. Then I got to get the jumpsuit. So I got the jumpsuit, and then it just slowly did that. And then all of a sudden I had moved down to Virginia in like 2022, and I didn't know anybody down here. I'd moved down here with my brother. Mm. And I was like, I got to get out of the house. And I knew that at some point I was looking at maybe joining a group because the pandemic was kind of loosening up at the end of 21, beginning of 22. And so I literally went to a Comic-Con dressed as a Ghostbuster. I was like, the only way I know I'm going to find these guys is I'm just going to dress up as a Ghostbuster. And clearly this is the place that they would be. And
it's where you find, the nerds.
You're kind of absorbed into the...
I ran into Tony Tran, who's our charity coordinator.
Gotcha.
But I ran into him like 20 minutes into being there. And the next day... him and Ryan Hobgood, who's another like a junior member of the group, they dressed up. We won the cosplay competition for it was Big Lick Comic Con. And then that was that. And then I kind of, like I said, I was going to went, you know, sank into it like quicksand. And then here I am dressed up and in love with doing it. And like,
yeah,
obsessed with improving the charity and doing everything we can to kind of get stuff growing and doing more and more help for the charities that we help down here. So
yeah, that's awesome. Oh my gosh, both you kind of like through your own paths, the slippery slope, found your way to to the group.
You give a mouse a cookie, kind of.
So I know like Ghostbusters Virginia is kind of a couple groups technically that kind of live together under that name. So are you technically in two different franchises under that name, or is it truly you're all in the same?
So it's one franchise, but what it is that we sort of have split ourselves into divisions because nobody's, I mean, like Tony and I had come down. So I'm in Northern Virginia, just outside of D.C. by Dulles. And then Veronica's down in Richmond. And so we would travel to Richmond every so often, but in general, there's so many zones that we just sort of walk into our zones. But yeah, no, it's a wholly unified group. It's just a matter of everybody's feasible travel times to get to the event that it is we're doing. But
fair, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but we like refer to it as divisions or whatever, or groups. It depends on what kind of feels right, depending on that.
Yeah. So are either of you a collector of said items then? Of different types of Ghostbuster items, collectibles, or just gear in general?
Sorry, my boss is calling me.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
This is Hugo. He's our set dog.
Oh,
the real director of this project.
Sorry, the manager's in.
I'm not like a huge collector. I really like buttons and pins. I can get as many Ghostbuster t-shirts as I can.
Yeah.
And patches are cool, but I'm not like a super avid collector of anything in particular.
Yeah. I'm not really a collector. I have done some minor stuff to like the little firehouse that I have behind me. But that's kind of the extent of it. I don't have like 17 versions of things and stuff like that.
Fair, yeah.
This was just a project when I went to that first Comic-Con. I got the Hasbro issue of the all four Busters when they did around Afterlife.
Yeah,
and their vibe was kind of original films meets cartoon a little bit because they were a little comic booky. And so I bought the Ecto one, and then I got into a number of like buildery pandemic projects. Like I built Hunter Killers from Terminator.
Nice.
Because I built them with the intent of like doing a little fan film with them, which I still haven't done that, but they're built and super awesome. So I got the Ecto one and like modified it up, and it's got like chrome bumpers and the fins are chromed out the way that they are in the film. And I did like a little bit of tinting in the window, so it balances the cartoon in the movie. And then the firehouse I just got this summer to kind of complete my set. I had a bunch of store credit from doing cosplay at a comic shop. And so it's like, I didn't have anything. I'm very used to being efficient on space from living in New York. So
yeah.
Once,
I mean, if you got an Ecto, you gotta have something to like.
They needed a firehouse. And like, but the firehouse is the, like, that's the childhood, you know, it's like that in Castle Grayskull, but I'm not in like my He-Man phase from like every 80s kid needed either one of those play sets. And I had neither. And
yeah.
So, like I had a friend in high school who had the firehouse, and at that time, you know, growing older, like he had put like a board over it and his table lamp. So it was his end table next to his bed. So it's one of those things that it's just like, my inner child was like, when it was time for me to get this, look, I need to get this.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah.
You gotta make the inner child happy. Number one rule.
Otherwise, they start crying. You know,
otherwise, it gets weird. Like, then inner child not happy, no one's happy.
inner child tantrums are the worst.
Yeah. But it sounds like it was kind of another one of those slippery slopes where you're like, I'm just going to build a Ecto. Well, now I need to store it.
I mean, with that one, it was sort of, when I had got the Ecto, I was like, well, if they ever come out with the firehouse, because the Ecto I have that I did it to is the reissue that they did when they came out with it. And they put things like safety on there, so, you know, you can't chew your fingers off in the gears under the car and stuff. But it was like exactly like taking that out of the box, it was like exactly as you remember it as a kid. I was like, that that brought back some sense memories. But the firehouse, yeah, I needed to do it. It's back there a little bit, but I have lights inside of it and repainted the inside of the garage to feel like it. I have to weather it and do some other stuff to it, but I've gone a little in depth on Ghostbuster Virginia's Instagram. It's one of the fan built Fridays we have.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I guess you could check it out there. I mean, if I get to like showing you my toys end of this, I'll drag it over here and we'll examine it a little bit, but it was a fun build. I have to do more to it, and I'm excited too. So
yeah. Well, before we get to the point where I'm making people drag out all of their Ghostbuster items, what I really want to know more about, that I heard a little bit about from your cohort a few weeks ago, is the fan film that y'all are making.
What
film? I've watched the trailer. There's a short little interview you did, Daryl, at Ghostbuster Day New York. Also, want to know about how that was. But I want to make sure we have as much time as possible to talk about this, because I'm really excited about it. So Don't Make Me Laugh is your fan film. Tell us everything you can tell us. how did you come up with the idea? When did you start filming? When can we get?
We started it when we were in a group call, the whole team, and Daryl, who I did not know, was like, it would be really cool if we made a movie, you know, as a director of photography, like to work on something. And I piped up that I like to write, and it was like, oh, okay, well, maybe we can work on something. And then he immediately followed up and was like, yeah, we should work on something. And so I was like, okay, I guess that's the push I needed. So I spent the next few months kind of hammering out a script, and it was something that we were both feeling, and then we just went from there. We kind of recruited all of our friends, like Jeff, and he mentioned Davis is his co-star, and some other folks on our team. And then we've been filming since September of last year. So we've still got a little ways to go. But we're getting really excited. We were so excited to drop that trailer too on Ghostbuster Day.
Yeah, so I would say the perfect day. Everyone's online looking at everything there is about Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like it was the right time to do that. So
fair. Yeah.
So, is that your recollection of this, Daryl? Because
this is all pretty accurate. I mean, there's some like hilarious detail in that.
Slight embellishments.
Like we really wanted to make this film and design it in a way that we could shoot it in like a weekend. So we we did a bunch of stuff to kind of, contain it in a way that we could shoot it in a weekend.
Yeah.
And then our weekends turn into, I think we've done maybe 7 or 8 shoot days, but it turned into like then fighting the schedule of being in the Ghostbuster group and real life and making film. So we shot we were woohoo, and got this thing going at the last week of August, first week of September last year. And then it was like, I think maybe we got one more shoot day in, right? Cause we coordinated with a local business to try to bring that in. And, we're trying to make it all.
Right.
And make it in a way that makes those things kind of sing. And then the next time was February, because Christmas and then all this other stuff. And
yeah. I'm sorry, I have to interject about that weekend thing. I don't know if we ever discussed it being a weekend. I think maybe that's sort of a wishful thinking.
It's 100% the plan. When I got into the social chat, it was one of the things. So I, as a DP, I've worked on a number of dramatic stuff and everybody's original ideas and things like that. But I've always wanted to do genre work and effects-based work. And this is the first project that I've worked on that has had a green screen in it. And I have been obsessed with special effects since I was 7, and knew how to get this process done, but have never had a good excuse to use it. And then, we've been able to do a lot of really, really cool stuff with this.
I'm so excited. If y'all watching have not seen the trailer yet, they have it up on their Facebook page, like the link to YouTube. It's on YouTube, but check out, and on either socials, they have links up to it. Please watch the trailer. It looks amazing. So you dropped the trailer on Ghostbuster Day. When are you looking to release it in its entirety, and where would people be able to find it at that point? Do you know?
Well, we said hopefully by end of summer. We're gonna see what we can do.
So we've been very hopeful on this timetable of this thing. Okay. And we know that it's like a lie without it being like total vaporware. I mean, we definitely wanted to get it done this year, so it kind of coincides with the 40th anniversary, and that's deadlines we're setting ourselves to be able to finish it.
Huh.
But yeah, our goal is by end of year.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah. So one of the things that we very much, we had kind of set like a little like container of rules in it. And one of the things that we have for this is to do the ghost practically. And so we are at the phase right now that we are making a ghost, and that is a very simple and straightforward process that shouldn't take any time at all. If you believe that,
right,
I will tell you.
Right.
We met up a couple weekends ago, like me and some of the other guys in the movie, to get together to work on this. So it's been kind of a fun collaborative, creative challenge to try and figure out, how does this thing work? You know, we've been looking at a lot of reference pictures of Slimer and the Scolari brothers, and how they did a lot of these practical effects in the movie, and how can we do something like that ourselves? So, hopefully we can get a time here soon to meet up again. We've gotten some of the base of it done, and now we just need to figure out the rest of the ghost. I don't want to spoil too much. You know, we're
fair. Don't feel pressure to answer this question if you don't want to say it. Is this a ghost that we could recognize from like Tobin's spirit guide? Like, is it a direct ghost? And you don't have to answer that too.
So it's an original ghost.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's awesome.
One of the things that we...
Are you able to tell us the class?
No, because I haven't memorized the classes well enough, but I guess it would be five, right? Like it's going to be a full apparition. So right?
Yeah.
Because after that, then we go into Gozer territory, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, I think five is right.
That's really five. Exciting.
I don't know too much, but
fair.
Let's see, in that area.
Yeah, it's a big baddie for sure. Which is really exciting.
Well, and part of the draw for me was like, I liked the idea of being able to, for us to create an original character. We've talked about the possibility of from here making some shorts or making other movies. I would love to keep doing that because that's, you know, part of the fun for me as a writer. So.
Yeah, we tried to get into doing this, and Veronica, when she had come together and like originally, our original idea was actually to do Ghostbusters Virginia versus the Bunny Man, which is like a local cryptid in Northern Virginia. And then it just sort of turned out that would get too big. And so Veronica came up with this whole ulterior ghost and has done some very interesting things that I'm not going to get into details about because it may be kind of spoilery for some stuff, but we've done some original things and sort of invented there are things that happen in this film that are original to this that are new to sort of ghost busting, which I think is fantastic. Like one of the things that that I can kind of bring up because it's in the original trailer, but like this ghost manifests chattering teeth.
Yeah,
that kind of face and attack you and stuff like that.
Like in the trailer, straight up like turn and like look at the camera, not camera, but like,
hey, there they are.
Hey,
there
they are. It like looks like they're turning towards the person in the trailer.
Oh yeah.
Like very, very creepily.
And that was Veronica's and Nick. It was their good puppeting work. That is a fully practical
fishing wire.
Yeah, we wanted to have a main villain, and then there's, you know, kind of B villains there. So, where was I going? I lost my train of thought, Daryl.
So we have, so it's not just kind of running and it's not Scooby doing through the house after this ghost the whole time. There's going to be more kind of hauntings and more apparitions, you know, the chattering teeth and the ghosts and some other stuff that'll be, I think, really, really kind of neat. It's definitely been like a new one for us to do a lot of interesting things ourselves with this.
Yeah, I was going to ask, have either of you made like done the practical effect kind of stuff before for anything else?
Yes, kind of. About 10 years ago, a friend of mine for a spec ad, we created a talking plant.
Oh,
so a flytrap that like harasses a guy in an office, and like did it out with like a piano wire like lip mechanism, and he sculpted this thing and built it out of foam latex, and I remember what that's like, and we don't really have the budget to do a giant foam latex thing with this, but we're trying to do mechanisms and hopefully eyes and like a moving mouth. And we've looked a lot at the original effects work from Boss Studios when they did I think it was Boss Studios, whoever did the original effects for the original Ghostbusters for Slimer and all that stuff.
Yeah, so it is Boss Studios.
Boss Studios, thank you.
Okay. So just like looking back and see what did. Can we expect any at some point, like behind the scenes, either footage or pictures of your practical effects?
I hope so. When we shoot them, hopefully we will have the time and energy. The problem that I have always come across on sets and stuff, and it's nice when other people are there kind of hanging out, is everybody gets so wrapped up in doing the thing that nobody takes time to document doing the thing. But we've been pretty good about our promo picture is from like us very happily last year on our first date.
How young we were. Young, energetic.
And you had the time and the energy on that one weekend.
Right. I was going to say on our last get together to work on the ghost, I did take some pictures and some videos. So some of this I'd like to save for maybe we could do some little featurettes to put up on our YouTube channel, maybe after the fact. Because I, growing up, I always loved to watch all the behind the scenes stuff on my favorite movies. And
yeah, absolutely.
So that and like blooper reels, I like all that little extra stuff. So I think if we can have that out there, then, great. I would love for people to see how much we've been enjoying working on this behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, true passion project.
And I'll totally concur with that. Like my entire, like I said, I've been a special effects like fanatic since I was a kid. Like I think I still have a Cinefex magazine from the Lost World Jurassic Park. Like I have always really loved practical and digital effects.
Yeah.
And have always very much been interested in and understood how it's made, but I've never had the proper excuse to use it. And so that was the part of the reason to like, I need to get into what I want to do so I can do more of what I want to do. And so that's part of this, but it's definitely like different being somebody who's watched how they make stuff. And you're like, oh, that's cool. That's easy. We could just put this together and that together. And then you get all those pieces together and you're like, okay, so now we have to get this piece into that piece. But I'm excited for us to sort of try to build this terrifying mechanism that is a ghost and get it on screen.
Yeah. In chat, Zerosin has requested a shot from behind. Like if you're ghost.
Oh, there is no. These are these. Actually, we haven't done anything to them. These are direct store bought chattering teeth. So it's
Well, if you the ghost you're creating, the big bad, if you are able to, Zero Sin in chat has requested a picture from inside the mouth, like looking through the teeth. if your ghost has teeth, if it has a mouth,
oh, we did.
That would be cool.
Sculpting them with my own hands.
And now one of my other thoughts, though, watching the trailer and then rewatching it before like doing the interview was, is this a storytelling of true events of the Ghostbusters Virginia? Is this a mission you went on and now you're just pulling inspiration from it?
I would say that the dynamic between our two leads,
yeah,
Jeff and
ripped right from the headlines.
is modeled quite a bit off of their real life friendship.
That's
you
pretty
can
cool.
tell, you could see from the trailer we have, you know, we have kind of a more seasoned veteran Ghostbuster and a rookie. And so the basic plot of this is the rookie's first mission. And so in reality there's a little bit of ribbing between Jeff and Davis, and you know, so not much acting required on either. <Fair. laughs>
No, that's.
Oh no, Kristen, we've lost you. You've clicked the mute button.
You muted yourself.
I literally didn't though. That's so weird.
It's the ghost of your apartment.
Yeah,
it's gonna start flickering here.
My Slimer, like
I've done
costume.
Listening to you.
My Slimer costumes come to life. You just see the hand like come into frame.
Doink.
What the heck? That's so weird. That happened a couple weeks ago too. It's my computer. That's haunted. That's what it is. It has to be, because also my frame will freeze too.
Which it's doing now that you're bringing it up. There you go.
It literally did it as you said it.
But it was demonstrating the act as you were explaining it.
I'm going to, in about 20 minutes, I'm going to need to go get my PKE meter and figure out what the heck's going on.
This could be because Daryl brought the teeth out. You know, that could be affecting things too.
Ooh.
So they never stop. I mean, I try to sleep all night and they just...
Chattering in your ear.
Yeah. I'm just going to hold my emotional support Slimer in my Slimer shirt and hope for the best. That's so weird. No, I swear, every episode, something's a little off with my technology. So, and it's only when I'm doing Ghostbuster stuff. but anyways, with the film, it's purely Ghostbusters Virginia, like working on this though, correct?
Yeah, actually. Okay, cool. No, I mean, I've had help from people that I've met in the local filmmaking area.
Nice. Yeah.
At the same time trying to get into production in the area, which has been very difficult because even in the corporate space, moving images all over the country in the last year has very much slowed down. But it's been, you know, I've had a couple people that I've worked with on other stuff that I've been like, hey, so you want to come and volunteer some time to work on a Ghostbuster thing?
Aww.
And it's been, that's kind of testament to Ghostbusters, but everybody's been kind of like, oh yeah. So it's been a good time to kind of bring a number of production people in here. We had a sound guy, Chib. He came from Maryland. It's kind of the furthest traveled. We had one shoot day in West Virginia. We had a location in Martinsburg, which is just over the border. So we've been doing our best to kind of keep it in a localized area, and it's mostly been in Northern Virginia, and then we're hoping to kind of expand out.
Gotcha. Folks watching, please follow all their social medias, especially pertaining to the film, so you know when updates are happening. Watch the trailer. It's so much fun. Yeah, and then watch it again.
and the YouTube channel that it's on, it's the Ghostbusters Don't Make Me Laugh YouTube channel. We're hoping to because maybe get into obviously some like fan film festival things, because obviously it's a little gray area with copyright and stuff like that. So I got to figure, we still have to kind of figure out how we can present it out that way. But in general, our eventual landing page for all of that is going to wind up on that YouTube channel, so everybody can enjoy it, which seems to kind of be the home for Ghostbuster fan films. But if anybody has worked on these projects in the past and obviously has any pointers for us about how to or what it takes to kind of get them out, we would love to hear it, because we are obviously we're making it to make it first, and then really we want everybody to see it, but we want to be able to get the word out there and get it to kind of maybe build up a little thing for us.
Yeah.
We're very excited to hear your reaction to it. This has been we haven't had any kind of time to talk to anybody outside of our bubble of the people that are working on it or people adjacent to the people working on it. Yeah. So yeah, internally I think we're both kind of giggling like school children right now to hear how much you're loving it. So
yeah. No, I think the Windy City folks I've talked to, at least so far, who've seen it, we're all very excited. Because like the quality of it too, the shots that have been taken, even just a little bit of like the dynamic you can start to feel between the two mains, like how that's written, like it all just it looks so good. So we're very excited to see how this turns out in the end, by the end of the year.
Yes, you can hold me to that, and then she can laugh when
I'm laughing right now.
but looks amazing, thanks to Daryl. I mean, truly, his work has made it, you know, has elevated everything that I've written. So I'm so glad that we were able to collaborate on this and really get it off the ground, get it going. So
yeah, that's awesome. Oh, it looks like we just got a follow from Twitch. Creighton JK, thank you for following the channel. I feel like lady in the bottom right, I feel like shouting show. Let's see. Oh, okay. So what other, I always like to know also, so kind of moving away from our chat about don't make me laugh. What other fandoms do you guys associate with? So obviously you're Ghostbusters. But what other fandoms do you typically enjoy cosplaying or just intaking content from or being involved in?
I'm a big fan of Batman the Animated Series. And I will, any excuse to bring it up. I love that show.
It has made it into our bingo, our event bingo.
Oh yeah, we've got like friend
event bingo for our Ghostbuster events, and one is definitely Jeff giving Davis a hard time, and another one is Batman the Animated Series,
which we do all bring up, but you know, I'm probably the most guilty of it. I love Batman and any Batman I've always liked. I like Good Omens, Twilight Zone, Star Wars, all the Marvel movies. I dabble in a lot of different things.
Fair.
I mean, that's a list that like we only have, you know, an hour of podcasts to go through. But I'll just say that like Star Wars, obviously, most James Cameron. Blade Runner, everything. I haven't really done much cosplaying outside of like I have a Jedi outfit and I have my Ghostbuster outfit, and that's kind of been it. I had a Blade Runner 2049 jacket that I wore not as cosplay, just to enjoy for about 2 years in 2018, 2019.
Nice.
Yeah, because it was like that's too cool of a coat not to wear.
Fair.
But like that's in general, it's more just subtle winks and references. Back to the Future is obviously a classic, things like that. So, I mean, I could go like anything that I'm doing, it's a slippery slope. So we're going to leave it there. Otherwise I'll just start listing other things that I'm trying to. So the next.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah. And actually, for both of you, a question I always almost forget, and then Bob yells at me in chat. What is the name of your pack, your proton pack? Does it have a name?
You go first. What's your pack?
Well, I'm very guilty of not wearing a pack most of the time because I'm short and it hurts my back. It's almost
honestly valid.
So, you know, it's so that would be probably a no from me on that. What about you, Daryl?
I actually never even considered naming the pack, and now I feel guilty about it. And that's
when Bob asked me, I didn't have a name, and he like, so I'm still figuring mine out too. Don't worry.
Nope. Sorry, Bob.
What's Bob's pack name?
Hey, wait a minute. What is this? Who is the most talented member of the cast for the fan film? I'm gonna have to go with Davis. I think he's just like a very
looks
natural.
Looks like a guy named Jeff asked that in chat, it looks like, I think.
Yeah, I would have to say Davis.
I would go with Davis, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I think we're going to get kicked out of the group now, but, you know.
Who's that guy that's in the movie with him?
Isn't there some other guy?
It's like John?
John, yeah. John's very good. Yeah, I think yeah, like yeah, yeah. Does.
John is a good actor.
Is it? Yeah. He doesn't say much, or Rob. Actually, Rob is spectacular.
Aw.
Jeff will. So we've got like it's a nice small cast that we have, but we've got Jeff, who's the VP of the group. But after the filming started, before that, he was in my job as the PR lead, and because he was in our film, they elevated him to that position, and we'll totally take credit for that, right, V? That was
yes.
PR on our part. And then Davis Simmons, who is our rookie. And then we've got Rob Bursk, who is the sort of...
it's like our inventor.
We've got like this nice little setting up our ability to do more later on. We've set up a nice little office group. So we've got V in the office playing our life.
I'm like the Velma.
You're a cryptid zoologist there.
Yes.
And then Tony is our boss. And so so it's like the car scene in the film is Tony's ecto. Tony very much lent himself to being the boss. The office is very much Tony's garage, doing its best as a Ghostbusters office. Like he has handed a bunch of stuff. The RTV was a project he had long abandoned that we twisted his arm into rebuilding, and he put it together in time to get on camera.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think in 2.5 weeks, he was just like, well, I guess we could, because we had RTVs that we had, but they were like $40 RC cars that they didn't deliver. And he's like, well, I've been working on one. And we're like, could you? And he was like, sure. And then, he had an RTV ready to go, and did something that everybody has a problem with in that he actually was able to automate the Walmart trapdoors to open on the RTV.
Nice. Yeah.
There and stuff.
I feel like, yeah, that's a hard one. We have someone in our group who's, I think, one or two people who've done it, but that there's, it gets really funky and then just stops working. And then it's sometimes you just guess if it works. So that's pretty cool.
Sometimes a ghost comes out.
Right.
And then he also built like you can see in the background of some of the office stuff in our early trailer and stuff. And he built a like portable containment unit that is in the film. And like he's done so many cool builder projects that we were just like, well, of course. You know, when we said we were doing the office scene, he turned around and like scoured the internet for a bunch of technical equipment to kind of fill the shelves. Like has been spectacular. I can sing the praises of everybody that has really put their heart into it. But Tony has done an amazing job to kind of bring us just so much of his capability technically. And like he's always there to kind of help and bring good suggestions to just about anything that we've done. Sorry, I'm late to the party. You're not sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hit that.
No, well, it's good. Jeff, it's falling out. No.
Jeff did ask, V, what are you most proud of for this project that you've written and directed? If there's without, you know, I don't, you don't give spoilers, but.
But like what part of the script am I most, or the most of the project I'm most proud of?
He said, yeah, the project that you've written and directed. So yeah, most proud of the project.
I'm just, I don't know. I'm so proud of everybody on this project. I'm so proud of how everybody has come together on this and like really risen to the challenge. I mean, I don't know, maybe that sounds corny, but it is true. I mean, I'm very proud of all the problem solving that everyone's done. Everyone in this project has contributed something to the making of and to the story, you know? I mean, like, you know, Jeff or Rob or Davis or Daryl, somebody will say, like, how about this? And throw out an idea. And it's a great idea. And it makes the thing that much better. So yeah, I'm very proud of everyone. And I mean, I'm proud to have completed something. You know, I feel like I have so many projects that just sit kind of half finished. And this, I was really excited to get going. And, you know, and that kind of coupled with Daryl's enthusiasm to get this going, just even completing it, you know, I'm proud of. But, you know, yeah, so it's I'm proud of the whole thing, I guess.
Aww. Daryl, anything for you that you're particularly proud of?
Shower me with any compliments while
you're here. No, you're getting, there isn't a time that this doesn't come up that I don't immediately shower Veronica with praise for her writing. The like I've worked on a number of projects over the years, and over the time, like everybody's done such great projects and it's stuff that they've personally worked on, and a lot of these other projects have been well written, but this is the best written thing that I've worked on without, like, from the beginning of it, like the first, like, I, you know, like any project, you know, you're 17 drafts in, but from draft one, everything is in it. It had, the characters were right, the story was right, the pacing was right, the humor was good, the action felt right. Like, it's very hard to get that, like, everybody thinks that they can kind of get it right, and it never fully matures like that. And like, even when I started this, and like anytime that is like, I started this and I was like, well, you know, I want to do a fan film. And it was like, you know, Ryan's like, oh, I'll do it. And I was like, cool. And I was like, see what we get. And, you know, I was coming from like a, you know, how much are we going to kind of have to do it? But from the first thing, like even with the Bunny Man thing, we had, she handed me, and I was like, well, this is what I'm thinking of. And she's like, okay, cool. And like a week later, she's like, here's 7 pages of the opening that I have. And it wasn't, it wasn't right to what we wanted, but it was like very perfectly formed. And it was like, okay, like I really lucked out. And then the real crime is that she hasn't really worked on anything up until now in a while. So it's nice to kind of get her to kind of go and hopefully we can get her working on more and more and more stuff.
Well, I'm so invigorated by this. I love the idea of us being able to make shorts based off of these original characters, and hopefully it's stuff that could feasibly be shot in a weekend. actually. Yeah, because it's like, well, we got, you know, there are all kinds of I don't know, like cryptids and urban legends and all kinds of stuff that we could just make little shorts off of going forward.
Yeah.
As much as I've enjoyed working on this project, I like the idea of us being able to kind of complete something quickly and then, you know, move on to the next idea. Cause, you know, I've always got a million different things I want to work on. So
yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was part of our original, we're eating through your time, but our original notion of this was to do local ghost stories, because I really wanted to sort of build out.
Cool.
You know, going into this, I found that a lot of Ghostbuster fan films very much, they kind of like will pull in stuff because it's very much just sort of member burying stuff that you enjoy in Ghostbusters. So, you know, 100 of them have a Slimer in them or a Stay Puft or something else like that. That's that's doing that, and we wanted to actually treat this as the Ghostbusters franchises. These are what these franchises will specifically be dealing with. So, I mean, there's other Virginia things, and we're trying to either come up with something original or, you know, who knows, at some point we may take out the Richmond vampire. Like, there's a lot of stuff in the cartoon that was really good where they went against, like, Sleepy Hollow, and they, you know, there was a bunch of the Collect Call of Cthulhu. Like, there's these great references to major cryptids or local legends to New York or New England that really made that show continue having stuff to tell. And we'd love to kind of set a standard of being able to do more, more ghost stories that are tied to the different areas that they all go.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's really cool. I think, yeah, getting something out there like that's going to bring your local lore in is incredible. I love that idea. Yeah. A rapid fire question before the big question at the end. Jeff wants to know what you thought of Frozen Empire and which Ghostbuster film is your number one. Rapid fire, both of those. Go.
I had a lot of fun in Frozen Empire. I laughed a lot. I've enjoyed every Ghostbuster movie that I've seen in theaters. But nothing beats the 84 Ghostbusters for me. It's my favorite.
Fair. Heck yeah.
I absolutely enjoyed Frozen Empire. I thought that it was like when Kumail said that it was a real Ghostbusters episode made a movie, and I was like, that's not gonna work. Like, how are you gonna do that? And I think that they really balanced out like a lot of the stuff. Like, I can fight arguments against sort of criticisms about that movie based on the fact that stuff in it feels like it would have been pulled out of that cartoon. And I think that like there was a lot to really enjoy in that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with the original 84 as well, though. Nice. The first movie that I saw obviously was 2, and like there was that, but like nothing beats kind of blowing the top 5 floors of New York high rise.
So my final question for both of you, why do you bust? What are you doing? why be a Ghostbuster? Why join a franchise? Why are you here?
Because, I mean, it's the most fun I've ever had in my life. I love working with both teams that I've been members of. Mm-hmm. And those experiences to me are just some of just the best ever. And also it gives you such a sense of purpose, you know, because we both of the teams I've worked for are 501c3s, you know, and knowing that we're dedicating, you know, all this time and energy and to know that it's really helping children in both cases with the Children's Home Society and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Knowing that we're helping kids means the world to me. So that's what that means to me.
Absolutely.
So I would say that I didn't start out with a why. It definitely learned that later, but it's going to lead into the exact same answer, I think, which is kind of the par for everyone. But the other end of that is, too, is I'll share an anecdote of a mistake that I made when I first started as a Ghostbuster, which was somebody asked me who you're going to call. And I was just like, because obviously it's not me, I'm me. So I was like, oh, somebody else. And I just knew that that was the wrong answer. And like, you deflated somebody's interaction with a Ghostbuster. But like, even in that was like 2 years ago going in DC, and you could see people a block away in DC look at you and light up a little bit because they see it like, oh my God, it's a Ghostbuster. And like, how cool is that? And that got in there. So you're sort of bringing out everybody's inner child, but it's definitely the charity work on top of that. Like, it's fun to dress up and it's fun to do that, but that's a very limited amount of fun. But to continue going out and doing that is 100% doing great charity work. So yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you both. Those are great answers. Thank you both so much for joining us tonight. I feel like the hour flew by. This was so much fun to chat. But yeah, seriously, thank you both for joining us tonight. Our time is wrapping up, unfortunately. Maybe we'll have you back after the premiere. Who knows?
Hey, that would be great. We'd like to actually talk about the movie and like,
and you actually, yeah. Oh my God. Okay. So we're doing that. We'll put it on the books. Yes. But yeah, no, seriously, thank you for being here. This has been a lot of fun. Any specific plugs that y'all have for people to follow, either you or Ghostbusters Virginia things to add?
I mean, Ghostbusters Virginia is Ghostbusters VA on most things. You know, we're on TikTok. We're on Instagram and Facebook. I would say, obviously, check out Ghostbusters Don't Make Me Laugh on YouTube. If you can't find it, look up Ghostbusters Virginia. And we have posted enough links to that that it should be there. I would say give the YouTube a follow. Please comment. We would love to see some feedback from the public and love to be able to sort of engage people and know that this is going well. This is fantastic. And I would say, like, outside of that, I would say consider donating to Make-A-Wish through Ghostbusters Virginia. I think that the group has done a great job kind of growing and would love to continue seeing that go. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much. Veronica, any other plugs that you're thinking of?
No. I think Daryl got it all covered.
Perfect. And then y'all know where to find us if you're watching us right now. So check out Windy City on all our socials as well. I think that's going to wrap us up for tonight then. Thank you so much. I keep saying it, but seriously, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to talk about the movie finally.
Yeah. And everyone who's watching, check out the socials, watch the trailer. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're here in Chicago. We're very excited for this. So, James, you got anything?
Yes, I do. So, if you're interested, if you're watching us on Twitch, hang out. We're going to be switching over to a Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed stream. There's a new patch today, and I'm going to be doing some playing as Classic Slimer, which will be pretty cool because they now have film accurate Slimer with the film accurate junk in the trunk.
Booty!
Big booty Slimer. Nice. Yeah.
So I'm going to
be playing around with that. There are Twitch drops going right now. So
any other time.
You have your Spirits Unleashed account hooked up to your Twitch. You can unlock some skins. And yeah, we're going to do that for a little bit. And we got some new toys to play with on the stream. So you can come and hang out and interact a little bit more.
Woohoo! Thank you, everyone, for joining the stream tonight, and I will see y'all next week, 7 p.m. Central.
Thank you for having us, Kristen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm Slimer.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development.